I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm Frankie D, your very proud host, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us and follow us on all the social media outlets. My guest today is Rosanna Weidekamp, who is the author of Where You End, I Begin. Rosanna, thanks for being here today with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here today, Frankie.
I really enjoyed the book. Very good book. Was that your first novel?
It is my first novel, yes.
Congratulations. You did a hell of a job. You hit it out of the park, I think.
Thank you.
So before we talk about this great book of yours, tell me about your background growing up. I know you grew up in New York. Tell me about that. And then tell me about where the family's from in Italy as well.
Okay. You probably have deduced by the sound of my voice, I am, from New York City. I'm a born and raised New York, bred through and through. My heart is there. I know you're in Chicago.
I'm a Chicago guy. Yes. Too. Yes.
I'm...
What neighborhood?
Born and raised in Queens by two immigrants from Italy, one from Sicily, my mom, and my dad from Naples.
And what part of Sicily, what part of Naples are they from?
My father is from a small island off the coast of Naples called Procida, which you became familiar with in my book. And my mother is from a very small town about an hour south of Palermo called Mezzoyuzzo.
Okay, an hour south of Palermo. Okay. Have you been to either of these towns or both?
Many times.
Many times. Okay, so you like Italy?
I love Italy. I would, live there if I had the guts to do it. And I'm slowly getting to that point.
Well, I can see you on a balcony overlooking some sea writing your novels.
Absolutely.
I just don't know which town you would choose to live in. Which one are you comfortable in?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have been to Procida many times. And, that's a whole separate story in and of itself.
And that's an island? It's an actual island off of the coast there?
It's an hour off the coast of Naples. It's one of the sister islands to Ischia and Capri. Capri is the island that everybody knows. Capri, they say. It's
right.
Not Capri. It's Capri.
Right.
Okay. And that's where all the stars go and, the people with big money go to, sunbathe themselves and vacation. And the little island of Procida, which is, a working man's island, often got overlooked because of Ischia's, star-studded reputation.
So any kind of tourism on Procida?
Pardon?
Is there any kind of tourism? Do tourists go to Procida or that doesn't
happen? Yeah. I was just going to tell you, after many, many years, Procida was recognized by the Italian government, designated as its capital of culture in 2022. And when that happens, when a place is designated as Italy's capital of culture, the government gives that place $1 million to invest in itself and promote itself in order to attract more tourism. So the little island of Procida went from, being barely on anybody's radar to being on many people's radar. I've been going there almost annually since 2009. And I've gone from seeing nobody there to seeing throngs of tourists. So.
Well, that's excellent. That's great because, hey, that's how they survive. That's where the money comes. They need that.
Exactly.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, good, good. And tell me a little bit about the experience growing up in Queens, New York.
Oh, I loved it. I wouldn't trade my memories for anything.
Heavily Italian area?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in South Ozone Park, which was very Italian when I was growing up. You know, we had people from all over, but though, you know, very Italian, yet at the same time, they weren't as Italian as my family was. My parents were from Italy, you know, and I grew up with a lot of people who were second, third generation kids in Italian Americans. So,
And
yeah,
there is a little difference. I mean,
but still, yeah, it's a little different. Once, you know, the culture gets watered down as every generation, you know, comes, and, you know, it's a little sad, but, you know, we've got to work to keep that alive in our families.
Absolutely. So last question, that area you grew up in, I'm assuming people moved away. Is it that kind of a story?
Yes, it's exactly that kind of a story. You know, you know what happened, you know, it's white flight. Once the neighborhood starts to change and diversify, you know, people leave and they go to all different places. A lot of people from Queens go to Long Island, like I did, to, you know, raise their children.
And Long Island, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm no expert at all, but isn't that a good good percentage of Italian Americans live there?
There are many people who are Italian on Long Island, but we also have, you know, good diversity too in some spots, not all.
Okay, so where you end, I begin. First novel. Does your background, your upbringing, influence this book?
Yes, to everything. To everything. I will tell you that writers, I mean, we, some of my examples of, you know, Italian writers like Adriana Trigiani. She is very famous Italian-American author who has written close to 20 novels about Italian-American families, and, you know, many of which were based on her own life experiences and her, you know, her extended family's life experiences. And I can tell you that, you know, my novel is based on experiences of people that, you know, I knew and currently know. But as I said to you before we went on the air, the stories have been twisted and turned for dramatic effect and to, you know, and to keep the reader turning the pages.
Okay, that's a great point. Because while I'm reading it, you threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting the things, like you say, as I turned to pages, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm glad I threw you for a loop, Frankie. That's my goal. You know, I want to engage the person so that, you know, they want to keep reading. So
absolutely. And in Chicago, I'm involved with the Italian Cultural Center, and we have a library. So I'm very involved with all of that kind of stuff. We do an event every year, Italian American Literati. We have these Italian American authors come present their books. We've had Adriana Trigiani in a Zoom situation a couple of times, actually.
Wonderful.
And one thing they all say, from our leader of the library to Adriana Trigiani, we have to write our own stories. We have to tell our own stories. We have to promote ourselves. I believe she even said that. She said, we got to buy our own books. We got to, you know, so
it's true.
This is great. And it's good. You're a new author. So you're someone that's new to this game, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, I am definitely new to this game. I'm somewhat fortunate in that, you know, for my real job, I am a public relations strategist. So I know how to promote. That's what I do for a living.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to ask you that. So you know how to promote. That's what you do for a living. Promoting books or promoting what?
Promote, you know, anything. I've promoted people, companies, nonprofits, you know, you name it. I've had over 30 years in public relations. So, and because my book is self-published and I don't have the backing of, you know, a big publishing house, I have to do that on my own. So, you know, and the Italian American community has been, you know, wonderful. And
have they? Good.
Just adding to your point where we have to support each other in our, you know, cultural endeavors. And that's what's going to keep our heritage alive.
Yes. And our stories told, basically. So tell me, where'd you get the bug to start writing? How did this all come about?
Oh, I've been writing for a very, very long time. My degree is in journalism, and, you know, I've always wanted to be a writer, reporter, since, you know, grammar school, really. You know, I've always had it in me to write at least one book. I wrote a children's story with my son who did the illustrations called Who
That's
Cooks
really
for
nice.
You?
And what was it called?
Who Cooks for You? Who
Cooks for You. Okay.
Yeah. It's a story about an owl who gets transported to New York City by mistake. He's hiding out in the Rockefeller Christmas tree that they took from upstate New York. And he comes down to New York, and the city throws him for a loop, and he hides out in Central Park, and the story evolves from there.
Very nice. Okay. Well, how did, so you always wanted to write a novel? Is that what it's called? A novel?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. So was this something that you just said, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do it? Or was this like writing a little bit over the course of like years?
This has been an itch that I've needed to scratch for a very long time. And I had the opportunity to start doing it about 5 years ago or so. And I started writing it, and then there were pretty severe health problems in my family, and I put it down for 2 years. And when all of that had passed, I picked it up again and finished it.
And did you always plan on writing, let's say, an Italian-themed book?
Oh, yeah. You know, I can't. It's what I know and what I was surrounded by growing up. And I feel like I can write about very well. Like I mentioned before, I've been to Procida many times, and I can, you know, easily describe the island and what it feels like to be there and to, you know, see the buildings and the vistas and everything else.
Do you still go back now? Have you brought your children?
Yeah, I am. I, you know, like I said, I try to go back every year. I have cousins there, and, you know, I can't go a year without seeing them. So,
well, that's great. Going forward, I'm assuming you plan to write more books.
Oh, yeah. The part that I threw you for a loop about, I plan on writing a sequel from that loop.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, I mean, I don't think I'm giving away and I won't say anything, but the ending that you threw me for a loophole, I'm assuming that's what you mean.
Yes.
You are setting it up for a sequel. Ah, that's great.
Exactly.
That's great. You know what? The first, this book, it was very, is it a word? Descriptive. That's a word, right?
Yeah.
It was well described. Like, it was well detailed, like the stories and, you know, the different situations that perhaps this girl got into.
Yeah, as if it might even be true.
definite possibility. Oh, okay. So have you started on a second, or?
I started writing an outline, but I am in no way deep into it.
Okay. And I don't mean to belittle it, like it's just boom, 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 take a weekend and you're done.
No, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
I would not think so. This is more than 300 pages, right?
Yes.
Yeah, more than 300 page book. So I'm sure that takes a long time to write. Did you attempt to have it published by a publishing house, or
I wanted to. That would have been my first preference, of course. But when I reached out to different publishing houses, I was getting a lot of, this is wonderful, but we can't do this right now, or this isn't our type of material, or various excuses. And I just wanted to, get it out there.
Can I ask you, I'll play the devil's advocate. It didn't have anything to do with like what it was about, like being an Italian American family. Like this was that something to do with the rejection?
I would hope not. I would hope that people wouldn't be selective.
I don't mean, and I don't mean to be like, we're being, picked on or abused. I don't mean like that, but I'm just saying, I'm assuming like a publishing place, they want to make money. So do they think like maybe this subject wasn't something that would sell to the masses?
Yeah. I don't think so, because, and I'm going to bring up other Italian writers again. Elena Ferrante, I don't know if you've read any of her work.
I haven't, but I am familiar. Is this the woman that it's like a pen name and now they have a TV show? And
correct.
Okay. I'm really not super familiar with the books or the TV show, but I know of it.
Yeah. She is my idol, and I absolutely love the way she writes. But she writes about Italian families and, different things that happen to them, tragedies, good things, etc. And, again, Adriana Trigiani, writes about Italian families and, secrets within the families. So I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's just, I'm brand new and unknown. So.
Right. No, I just it probably isn't that. I just was wondering if maybe you felt something. We actually, speaking of Adriana Trigiani, we actually had one of her books became a movie.
Right.
Stone Gap, yeah. Or something.
Right. I can't think of it right now. I was just
looking
at it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Stone Gap or something like that.
Right.
And we did a movie night where we watched a movie. It was actually at Loyola University in Chicago.
Right.
And then we had her on the screen after the movie to talk about it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I believe like our the head of our library has a connection with her, so we've had things with her.
Stone Gap, it was called.
Stone. Yes. Yes. That's it. That's it. And I believe it was about, I think her story of an Italian family, like in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. She's from Virginia. And one of the books, actually, the Shepherd's Wife, I think, was the story about her grandparents. Is a story based on the life of her grandparents.
Gotcha. Okay. What I wanted to ask as well. Okay, so you're Italian American author, wrote this book, Italian American book. Is the Italian community where you're from, Long Island, New York area, are they embracing it? Are they lending?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually, I've spoken at, several Sons and Daughters of Italy meetings, and I've done presentations at these meetings. The Sons of Italy book club gave my book a glowing review on Amazon that I'm very proud of. They absolutely loved it. And with the fall coming, I have a lot of other speaking engagements related to the Italian American community. So I'm excited about that.
Well, that's very good. And I'm glad to hear that. That makes me happy, because that's what we should do. We should be backing our own. We should be helping our own. We should applaud you for writing, in essence, our story.
Thank you. It
doesn't necessarily be mine, but it's, it's our, as an Italian community, story.
Right.
You're
right,
one of us. Exactly. We got to help you. So no, I'm very happy to hear that. That's good. And I hope it continues.
Thank you.
Because there's a lot of Italian Americans out there. There's a lot of Italian American communities out there. It doesn't have to necessarily be in the New York area. And that would help everything. So
yeah, I absolutely love it. I really enjoyed investigating into the different Italian American enclaves in New York, like in East Harlem. East Harlem used to be all, Italian immigrants. And they still, even though the neighborhood does not really have too many Italian Americans every year, they do the Giglio feast there. That's actually coming up next month, and they close off the streets and they do the Giglio. They probably do it in Chicago too, I'm sure.
No, we don't. Is that the one where the 100 men carry that structure and the band?
A big tower.
Yes.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. No, we don't do anything like that in Chicago.
But, nowhere? No. Is it just a New York thing? It can't be a New York thing because it was it's based on an Italian story.
Right. We just never, it does. We have our, religious festivals and processions, mm-hmm. Quite a few, but nothing like that. No.
Okay.
Oh, and in fact, that is something that, it's a bucket list type of thing. I'd love to see it once.
Oh, yeah, you got to go. It's happening in August. I'll send you details later.
Yes, I would definitely. It if people could at least see, look it up online, Google it. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And just my little experience carrying one statue, okay, with, maybe a total of six guys or eight guys, it's not easy to do that.
No, it's not. It's not six, eight
this
guys.
This is 120 guys. 40. I think it's 120 guys because there's an entire band of men plus the structure. What I'm saying is they have to be so in sequence.
Yes, right.
They have to, I'm sure they practice. I'm sure they, and I noticed just when I've done it, if somebody maybe is taller, there's a problem. Because it's all on that guy. It really, there's an art form to it. There's, a whole structural thing to it. And I tip my hat to this society and all the volunteers and all the people. It's great because one thing I'm a firm believer in, we have to keep these traditions going.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, they are deep in my heart and they really should continue.
And like a lot of things with our community, if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. So we have to keep these things going. So yes. Having said that, where you end, I begin. Where do we find your book?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, and it's also on barnesandnoble.com and a variety of other online book web pages.
Okay.
So it's out there.
Okay, Google your name, I assume, and then, all the different ways to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All you have to do is Google it. That's all.
Okay. Rosanna, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It was a pleasure reading the book. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I highly advise it to everyone out there, all our Italian Americans. I personally... Give me a book about Italian Americans and I love it. That's my favorite subject. So congratulations on the book. It's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you, Frankie.
And I look forward to hopefully the sequel. Is that what you call it?
Yes. When the sequel comes out, I'll let you know.
Please do. Absolutely. And thank you for the interview and all your time. And best of luck with the book.
Thank you, Frankie. Be well.
Thank you.
All right.